You hear a discussion in which academics Gordon Mackay and Sophie Blackmore talk about how communication has changed in society. Choose the best answer, A, B, C or D.
Today we're discussing language and the role it plays in society. I'm joined by Professor Gordon Mackay and Dr. Sophie Blackmore from Belmont College. Gordon, communication is at the heart of your latest book, isn't it?
Exactly so. You only need to watch news reports or read newspaper articles from just a few years ago to see that communication has changed dramatically in the last few decades. And I've obviously devoted a lot of the book to digital communication. We simply cannot ignore how it's transformed the way we express ourselves, and even the slang we use. But the point isn't that these changes are having an adverse impact on language. Not at all. My mission is to show how that view's a myth because, if anything, our language has never been richer.
It sounds fascinating. So often in our academic work we deal with the obscure and highly theoretical aspects of linguistics rather than highlight the beauty of everyday communication.
Thanks, Sophie. Yes, and what you say about the nature of academic research is particularly true in my field of expertise, historical linguistics. I spend my time exploring how the so-called rules of grammar and spelling have evolved, and the origins of certain taboo expressions. But it's important that I never lose sight of my primary task, which is to gather evidence of the type of language being used at particular times. My role isn't to suggest how language should be, it's to describe how it is, or in my case, how it once was. I preserve documents, not language usage.
My role is somewhat different. I do discuss the features that make up effective communication because I teach essay writing classes. Many university students have a tendency to confuse adopting an appropriate tone with introducing an unnecessarily complex style. Now, clearly, university essays should fulfil the conventions of academic writing and be error-free. However, those things are important only insofar as they help you achieve the key goal, which is to be understood. You may have persuasive arguments, clear evidence, maybe even groundbreaking theories, and that's great. But unless they're expressed in a way that is accessible to the reader, your writing cannot be deemed a success.
And you also research pragmatics, don't you? You've published a lot on the nature of social interaction.
That's right. Writers choose which information to present and whether to convey it in an emotional or neutral way. They decide how best to engage the reader. Then, the reader analyses that information and compares it with their existing knowledge. I highlight that point in my classes using the example of social media. When we post something to our network, our followers are already aware of the background. Our intended audience will immediately see the point we're making without us joining all the dots for them. But a stranger might see the same post and interpret it in a completely different way.
Then there's text language, which has its own particular style and structure. I know it's frowned upon by schools currently, but it'll eventually be studied in the same way that pupils study any other form of writing. After all, it's very inventive, and it's remarkable how universal standards are being adopted within text language. For instance, young people from different cultures can use instant messaging and text language to understand one another without language barriers.
Yes, it's evolved very quickly. But do you really envisage it appearing on a school syllabus? I can't see any prospect of that. And that's a shame because, of course, text language is increasingly accepted by more of the population.
And do you...
You hear a discussion in which academics Gordon Mackay and Sophie Blackmore talk about how communication has changed in society. Choose the best answer, A, B, C or D?
Today we're discussing language and the role it plays in society. I'm joined by Professor Gordon Mackay and Dr. Sophie Blackmore from Belmont College. Gordon, communication is at the heart of your latest book, isn't it?
Exactly so. You only need to watch news reports or read newspaper articles from just a few years ago to see that communication has changed dramatically in the last few decades. And I've obviously devoted a lot of the book to digital communication. We simply cannot ignore how it's transformed the way we express ourselves, and even the slang we use. But the point isn't that these changes are having an adverse impact on language. Not at all. My mission is to show how that view's a myth because, if anything, our language has never been richer.
It sounds fascinating. So often in our academic work we deal with the obscure and highly theoretical aspects of linguistics rather than highlight the beauty of everyday communication.
Thanks, Sophie. Yes, and what you say about the nature of academic research is particularly true in my field of expertise, historical linguistics. I spend my time exploring how the so-called rules of grammar and spelling have evolved, and the origins of certain taboo expressions. But it's important that I never lose sight of my primary task, which is to gather evidence of the type of language being used at particular times. My role isn't to suggest how language should be, it's to describe how it is, or in my case, how it once was. I preserve documents, not language usage.
My role is somewhat different. I do discuss the features that make up effective communication because I teach essay writing classes. Many university students have a tendency to confuse adopting an appropriate tone with introducing an unnecessarily complex style. Now, clearly, university essays should fulfil the conventions of academic writing and be error-free. However, those things are important only insofar as they help you achieve the key goal, which is to be understood. You may have persuasive arguments, clear evidence, maybe even groundbreaking theories, and that's great. But unless they're expressed in a way that is accessible to the reader, your writing cannot be deemed a success.
And you also research pragmatics, don't you? You've published a lot on the nature of social interaction.
That's right. Writers choose which information to present and whether to convey it in an emotional or neutral way. They decide how best to engage the reader. Then, the reader analyses that information and compares it with their existing knowledge. I highlight that point in my classes using the example of social media. When we post something to our network, our followers are already aware of the background. Our intended audience will immediately see the point we're making without us joining all the dots for them. But a stranger might see the same post and interpret it in a completely different way.
Then there's text language, which has its own particular style and structure. I know it's frowned upon by schools currently, but it'll eventually be studied in the same way that pupils study any other form of writing. After all, it's very inventive, and it's remarkable how universal standards are being adopted within text language. For instance, young people from different cultures can use instant messaging and text language to understand one another without language barriers.
Yes, it's evolved very quickly. But do you really envisage it appearing on a school syllabus? I can't see any prospect of that. And that's a shame because, of course, text language is increasingly accepted by more of the population.
And do you...